Hey, Sens fans, welcome to episode number 4 of the New Era Sens podcast. Today you are joined by myself, Nick, our co-host Noah, and our founder, Dave. We have a great show lined up today with a very special guest on later, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And first and foremost, guys, how has everyone been this week?
Good as always, Nick, good as always.
Same, not too bad. Having a pretty decent week, so...
Yeah, it's been a good week, although it's sort of dry for Sens content, I would say. We still have a few things to talk about. What do you guys think about throwing a C on a jersey for someone, especially maybe Tkachuk, maybe Shabbat? What do you guys think?
Well, we have a whole whack of players who are either extremely young and haven't played many games in the NHL or for the Senators. You don't have an obvious choice. You have your Thomas Chabots and your Brady Tkachuks, and you have a couple of those guys. But when it gets to the assistant captaincies and throwing an A on the jerseys, those letters mean something too. Those guys aren't just plugs in the room either. So you gotta look around the room and you gotta see who's a good leader, who's able to take some guys under their wing, you know. You can't just slap a letter on somebody who's completely unproven.
Do you think maybe they're saving the letter for one of those guys, or?
I think you, you see, I don't know. I think you have to either decide it's going to be Shabbat or Tkachuk. I don't think you can justify giving it to anybody other than those two. Maybe Stutzel. Maybe. In a couple of years, but I don't know if you can justify giving it to anybody else besides those two.
So personally, I think it's either going to be Shabbat or Tkachuk. I don't think you can go wrong either way. But I think Tkachuk is more of a heart and soul, blood, sweat, and tears kind of guy. Shabbat's more of the quiet leader. At the end of the day, like I said, you can't go wrong either way. But I personally think. I'd rather have a young vocal guy, and I personally see Tkachuk being that guy. Throw Shabbat the A. As far as the second A, I would probably go with a guy like Connor Brown, short term, until his contract ends, and then once his contract ends, give it to one of the guys that are coming up, whether it be Batherson or Timmy or any of those guys who earn it by the time that Connor Brown's contract is up.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm a huge fan of Connor Brown, and I think there's a reason they kept him for another little while. Like, that guy is a good vet, and you obviously seen it last year, that vet presence on the ice, and evidently a good player. But I still believe that the Sens are keeping that C for one of those two guys, and I don't think they'll have a little competition, try to battle it out or anything, but. I think they know who they're leaning towards, and I think they just want to give it the year to really let that guy come out and prove why he really deserves to be captain. But like I said earlier, I wouldn't mind to see Connor Brown either, Dave. I think that would be a really good choice.
We've seen this floated around on Twitter, and this is always in the back of your mind, but you gotta wonder if the reason that Ottawa is bringing in so many of these big tough guys is to keep Brady Tkachuk out of the box. You gotta wonder if that's because you gotta think if you're the captain of your team and you're trying to rally your team to win every game. Yeah. If you're sitting in the box for 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes you can't rally your team. That's 5 minutes you can't be,
But at the same time, the watch your captain be the one, to go after their big tough guy. That is one way to bring your team up.
No. I'm not trying to say to cut Brady Tkachuk's that out of Tkachuk's game entirely. I'm just saying that might be a big reason why they're trying to bring some of these guys in to try to limit his time in the box. Obviously, that's still a big part of his game. He's always going to be, a stick in the mud kind of guy, but just somebody to be a mediator, it doesn't always have to be Brady Tkachuk that goes after the Ryan Reeves,
So other guys, so that I see what you're saying. So just someone else to answer the bell doesn't always have to be Brady.
Exactly. Because, I think I remember from last year, besides Borowiecki, Brady Tkachuk, he dropped the mitts you know, at least 3 or 4 times. That's pretty rare nowadays. So,
yeah, and you really don't want him to hurt his knuckles either.
You don't want him to hurt his knuckles, but man, can he ever throw them?
What if he can be like a type of player like Jamie Benn? You know, a captain who really, you know, Jamie Benn's not afraid to fight some guys and throw those hits and get dirty. Sort of what I would see in Tkachuk maybe as a potential captain. And I think Jamie Benn is a fantastic captain. So if he can be anything like that, well, I mean, that would be a clear choice for me to put a captain on his jersey.
It's funny you mentioned Jamie Benn, because I just saw a video not 20 minutes ago where it's locker room footage of after the game six loss to Tampa, and the entire room is empty except for one man sitting at a stall, and that is Jamie Benn. Mm-hmm. And somebody comes up to him and pats him on the shoulder, and Jamie looks up to him, gives him a handshake, and says, "You did well."
Yeah, still dressed too, you know. He didn't bother changing or anything, so you could see how much it hit him hard like that. And
it really means to a guy like that to win. Yeah. And when you get so close and you can't get there, it's just heartbreaking.
I know everybody poked fun at the I think it was 2 years. Yeah, it was 2 seasons ago when you had that Brad Marchand crying picture come out. And everybody poked fun at Marchand because it's Marchand. But at the end of the day, even Marchand was breaking out tears. Like, there's a lot of emotion that goes into a loss of the Stanley Cup Finals, right? So,
yeah, people forget we're humans, you know? We do feel sadness. We feel pain. We feel all these things. And, you know, it's easy to hate someone on the ice and say, this guy, you know, doesn't deserve to play, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, these guys are all humans too. And, you know, I'm sure I would love to hang out with Brad Marchand, even though I hate the player he is. So, you know, it's sad to see these players go through that, but it is the game, and I think that's what makes it so special when you do get the chance to win it. So let's hope the Sens get there.
Anyways, we don't lick anyone.
Yeah, just don't lick anyone then.
Yeah, it's typically a pretty good plan. You know, you're set. You're set in the right way if you're. You're not planning on licking anyone.
Yeah, speaking of licking,
in the next season, especially, don't be licking anybody with COVID going on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a season suspension right there.
That's what I was just going to say, boys. Like, with COVID and everything, it's not a good idea to lick someone. But also, would it be...
idea to lick anyone, period. It doesn't have to be with COVID or anything. Just don't lick people.
No, but, you know, people are stupid nowadays. You never really know. But my question was, obviously, that's not good to do. So would it be a good decision to make to go watch a Sens game, maybe if you're allowed to go next season or anywhere, really? Do you think it's a wise decision to attend games, you know, especially with a vaccine on the way? Even with a vaccine, you know, they said I think it was about 90% effective against COVID. Would you still take the chance to go watch a game and you know, potentially get infected by COVID-19.
How about that, 90%? Like, that's pretty unreal that we're getting that close.
If I told you had a 90% chance of winning a lottery, would you buy a lottery ticket?
Every day of the week.
Right?
Like I don't think there's a question. For me at least, I can't miss hockey. I've been missing hockey for too long already. I've already gone through 2 lockouts in my short life, but we definitely got to go see some more hockey soon.
Yeah, see, for me it's a little different. I have a bit of medical issues like asthma that would, you know, make me high risk. 90% is a good, you know, that's a high percentage. I think at the end of the day, if the NHL were to allow Canadian cities to open up, or if the government, sorry, were to allow Canadian cities to open up for NHL games for fans to go, there would have to be some pretty good solid evidence that the vaccines work, enough people has taken the vaccine, and it's relatively safe. I think that's the only way I would comfortably be able to put my butt in a seat in any NHL arena.
Yeah, well, I don't know. For me, personally, I think just, you know, if Stutzla's on the team, well, I'm going to go regardless. But I think I should be smart about those types of decisions and look out for the people, you know, around me. I live with my grandpa, and he's obviously at risk. So I should be making these smart decisions. And not to say that I haven't been. You know, but I think we all miss that little part of our daily lives that we used to have. And I think for me, going to see a Sens game is a big part of that, and something I look forward to do for you know, it's been, what, 8 months since they last played about? Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while, and a lot of players to see, a lot of things that have changed, and the new jerseys, obviously.
With how strict Canada's been on the whole COVID thing, and I'm not saying that it's been a bad thing. We've needed to be strict. It's a hell of a disease that we need to be as careful as we possibly can with. But I don't think the Senators and Melnick and the NHL, I don't think they're going to open up their stadiums to fans unless they know that that everything is safe.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have this very big reassurance towards the public, towards government, towards the Board of Governors for the NHL. They're going to need pure clarification that it's safe and effective, whatever strategy we use to get people back in the building. That's why I'm a little bit more nonchalant about this, because I think that, especially with how they've done the playoffs, I think that they'll be able to make the right decisions involving COVID for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I think so too. And things might change up until then. Like we might see the rapid COVID test, and that might change how the NHL decides to play this season. You know, for airplane carriers, take the test before going on the airplane. It'll tell you you're negative or positive. So that's huge. And in just a matter of hours, I think, I don't know how long it'll take, but that could be a potential game changer. And then, you know, also with the vaccine, you might have that on your phone saying, oh yeah, you've been vaccinated, you're allowed to come here. So that you know, a lot of things we might see affect how we you know, live our day-to-day lives, and especially when it comes to going to watch a game at the CTC. I think some things will have to come down to how they'll make sure that everybody's safe, and especially the players, right? So without further ado, let's welcome our special guest, local celebrity, national treasure, and host of TSN 1200's The Drive, Ian.
All right. Welcome, Ian. We're very happy to have you. And obviously, you know, this is our fourth episode, so to have a guest like you is incredible. I just really want to start off and ask you, you know, how are you and your family holding up in this pandemic?
Hey, yeah, listen, first of all, guys, thanks for the invite. I always I say this on any podcast I go on. It's great for me to be able to return the favor to fans that have been so loyal to you know, following my stuff or consuming my content over the years. So it's it means a lot to me to be able to come on podcasts like this. So it's great. I appreciate you asking about the family. Everybody's good, and you know, touch wood. Excuse me. You know, touch wood. We haven't had to deal personally with COVID stuff in our home. Our daughters are in school kind of full time and trying to do things as normally as possible. So you know what, I can't say that COVID has impacted us too negatively, and I know that we're pretty fortunate in that regard.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, because it has affected a lot of people, and it's just the reality of the life we live in today. So to hear that's incredible news. I just want to touch on first thing is Alex Trebek. Obviously, in recent news, we heard about his passing. Obviously, a big guy in the community, well-known name, and obviously he has ties with Ottawa. So I just want to ask you, in honor of him, how was your reaction to his passing? And do you think the Sens should honor him some way, somehow?
Yeah, listen, I thought, you know, I think this comes on the heels of that really cool moment that the Senators were able to have when they drafted Tim Stützle. And to have Alex Trebek do that, I think was really neat at the time. And now, certainly in hindsight, you know, that he would pass away about a month after that, I think it makes it even more special. So, you know, it's obviously a sad day. It was a sad day when it happened. And I think his commitment to the University of Ottawa, I think, is something that really needs to be highlighted. I mean, there's somebody who's really proud of the school that he went to, and he never forgot where he came from. And I think that's, you know, Alex, the guy, I think he's, you know, originally from Sudbury, but came to school here in Ottawa. There's a lot of people that I feel when they go on to bigger and better things, they forget where they came from. And Alex's was as big of a star as you would find on network television in the past three decades. And so to have him never forget us and, you know, kind of always be that Ottawa guy that would come back and do events here or lend money to UOttawa or do that thing for the Senators, I think it's great. I don't know kind of how they can have a tribute to him. It would be neat if they could, you know, think of a way to honor him at the games next season. I think that that would be a wonderful touch for the organization, just given his role in selecting Tim Stützle. But it was certainly sad, and I think what was really sad is I think we all knew he was battling cancer, but when he did that video for the Senators on draft day, I think we all thought, like, oh wow, he looks good, he sounds good, he, you know, hopefully he's on the right path. But unfortunately that didn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, you're right there. He did really look like he was doing better. So to see that soon after the fact that he announced Stützle, well, that was very unfortunate. I think it came to a little bit of a surprise for us Sens fans and a lot of people on Twitter. But you know, such a great guy, and I think to have that memory with Stützle is a good thing to have, and his legacy will live off of that as well.
So, Ian, with the many, many off-season signings that GM Pierre Dorion and the Ottawa Senators have made, I've got a little list for you here if you need a bit of a refresher. Who do you think is going to be the biggest value signing for the Senators? So we have Alex Galchenyuk here with 1x1.025, Murray at 4.625, Brown with 3 years at 3.6 million, Tierney at 2.35 million. We've got a couple at the bare minimum, 1 year, two-way deals with Yaros, Balsers, and Schlopik. Paul got himself a nice 2 year, $1.35 million deal. And of course, the biggest offseason signing, Evgeny Dadonov at 3 years and 5 million.
You know, it's an interesting list. It depends on how you want me to answer the question. I mean, value is the key phrase, right? And I think when you look at that, man, it's hard not to immediately go to Dadonov, because I think when they signed him, first of all, I think a lot of people are like, whoa, like Ottawa got like a legit top six guy. And I think when you get a legit top six guy at that term and that dollar, boy, it'd be hard for me to think that he's not going to live up to that. Like, I think if it comes in here and rolls in and scores between 20 and 25 goals or whatever it is, I think it's worth it. And so that would be my immediate reaction, would be from a value perspective, you can get somebody to play in your top six and produce with 20, 25 goals, I like it. So that, my mind immediately goes there. But, you know, there's a couple of other answers there that could be in it. I mean, Galchenyuk, let's be honest here, it's a low risk situation. 1 year at $1 million. You know, it's kind of like Tyler Ennis, right? Like, we're like, okay, like bring him in. I don't see the downside of it. I know that he comes with quote unquote baggage, and people say like, I don't know, he's inconsistent. Yeah, great. We're not married to him for 3 years or 5 years. Like we're like, it's a 1 year deal. So I don't mind that one. And then, you know, Matt Murray, I don't know where I come down on him, because I love the resume. I love what he brings to the table, all of that. But they did sign him to a pretty sizable deal that I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can live up to it. So I think there'll be a little bit of pressure on him, but from a value perspective, I think you can't really go wrong with Dadonov and Galchenyuk there.
I think that's bang on, man. Galchenyuk with 1 year and only $1 million. It feels like he could be, honestly, an upgrade to even an Anthony Duclair if he regains his old form from back in Montreal.
Yeah, look, he's got a 30-goal season on his resume, right? And if you were to say to anybody, regardless, and, you know, take Galchenyuk's name out of it, but you could sign a guy who within the last 5 years scored 30 goals in the NHL, and you could get him for 1 year at $1 million, would you do it? Well, I don't see how the answer could ever be no. Like, I don't see it being a risky proposition. So I like I said, I like the signing. I mean, there's a red flag with him, though. Let's be honest here. When you go to Pittsburgh and you go to Minnesota and you go to Arizona and you go to Montreal, now you come to Ottawa. That's five teams in about 30 months or less than 30 months for Galchenyuk. And the spot that really kind of jumped out at me was when he went to Pittsburgh. I was like, man, that he's sliding into a great spot. You're behind Sid and Gino. You can slide in. There's not going to be a ton of pressure. He got five goals. He scored five goals in what should have been in a good spot for him in Pittsburgh. So that would be an issue. And I think he knows that this is probably maybe his last chance in the NHL to, quote unquote, prove himself. Otherwise, he might have to go find another league to play in. So you're getting a highly motivated guy, a guy who's got a 30-goal season on his resume. Hey, why not roll the dice?
Yeah, and, you know, he's a former third overall pick, right? And he's not even all that old. So I don't see why you wouldn't. That's right.
And, you know, right now with everything happening and all the new guys that we brought in, we might not even be able to get to see the full potential of what the new guys can bring. You know, we might have this all Canadian division coming up, which really limits what we're going to see next season. What do you think the odds are that we're actually going to get an all Canadian division? How do you think it would work? And what do you think of that?
So I think I like the idea, and I like it from a couple of perspectives, not the least of which it feels like that might be the safest way to try and get some games going here, right? Like, I think the idea of cross-border travel doesn't seem to be something that is going to be working for us in the next, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. You look at the Toronto Blue Jays. They were forced to go down, play south of the border because of the government said, nah, we can't have teams coming over the border. I think the Toronto Raptors are on the verge of going down the same road. And we are fortunate in the National Hockey League. Well, we don't have just one singular team that's an outlier. We have seven, and we could potentially put them all together. And, like, from a logistical standpoint, it actually works. Like, a seven-team division actually works. What I think you might see, and you've seen this idea probably floated out by the likes of Pierre LeBrun and Frank Saravelli and some of the Elliot Friedman and some of the other prominent insiders, saying it might be a baseball-style division where, and let's use Ottawa and Vancouver as an example, where the Canucks are playing Ottawa. Maybe Vancouver comes here and they play a three-game set in Ottawa to mitigate travel, to mitigate the risk of, you know, traveling around. Maybe the Canucks come here and they're here for a week and they play three games against Ottawa. And then they fly back to Vancouver and that's where they play the Flames or whatever it is. I think we kind of have to lean into this a little bit. 2020 has been a gong show. We have to be flexible with things. It's not going to be perfect. And from that perspective, I think we got to be flexible. But look, I think this is pretty cool. I think we, as hockey fans, as Senators fans, I think the teams that we follow the most happen to be the other Canadian teams, right, for the most part. And so if you're asking me for 1 year if I could replace the Florida Panthers in my division with, like, the Winnipeg Jets, I'm like, yes, please. Like, I don't feel any rivalry with the Panthers and the Lightning. And so I'm all in on this. I think it could be fun. I think logistically it probably makes the most sense. I don't mind that baseball style schedule. Let's give some things a whirl, see what works, see what doesn't. I'm thinking it's going to be like a 48 game season or somewhere in that ballpark. And, you know, who knows how this all plays out. But if it's a seven team division and you're only playing that division, you could play all of those teams eight times. We could have eight games against the Leafs and eight against the Habs and eight against Vancouver. And at the end of it, I think you'd be at 48 games. So it's going to be interesting to see how they can pull this off, but count me in on on being in on a shortened season with a Canadian division.
See, and that was one of the things that I really thought about as well, is we already have the rivalries with Montreal, the supposed rivalry with Toronto, but imagine the new rivalries that could be created from an all-Canadian division, seeing Tkachuk versus Tkachuk 8 times. I mean, I'd love to see Tkachuk versus Tkachuk 82 times in the season. But I also think, like I said, we can create new rivalries. You know, McDavid, you know, someone might take a wrong slash at him, and then all of a sudden you're waiting for that next game between Ottawa and Edmonton to see what happens. So to me, I'm more excited to see, if there is a Canadian division, the new rivalries that can come up, and then we can carry those rivalries for years.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I said, like, I don't really feel it with the Panthers. And I don't know. Like, the whole idea of the Atlantic division is kind of weird to me, where, you know, you just kind of group these teams. Like to me, Florida and Tampa should be in a division like with Washington and Carolina, just from a geographic perspective. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense. So for the people that are saying it's silly for Ottawa to be in a division with the Alberta teams, ask yourself, why are we in a division with the Florida teams, right? So I'm all in on this idea for 2021.
Because players need a vacation, and players need a vacation in the middle of their season.
That's right.
well, speaking of Canadian division, we also have the question, you know, if fans are going to be able to go watch games at the CTC. But speaking of that, I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the past few years, I would say, about maybe a new potential downtown arena. We're still curious to see, you know, if that will come to fruition. Do you still believe that a downtown arena is a possibility, or in general somewhere else? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I've always been a believer that once you put the plan out there, we all saw the sketch and all the stuff about the train, and you would get out at LeBreton Flats, and there'd be this community there. There'd be restaurants, and you'd have the ability to walk to the game if you lived in Little Italy or you work downtown. Once you put that out there, it's awfully hard to put the genie back in the bottle and say, "Hey, we're gonna be in, we're gonna be in Canada for the next 25 years." Well, no, like, you told us that a downtown arena is what you wanted, and all of a sudden, it wasn't what you wanted. And I think, look, I get it. If you live in Stittsville, you live in Canada, you probably do enjoy the fact that the games are in your backyard. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you guys something that I tell, I say on the radio, I say this a lot. You look at the teams that have attendance issues in the National Hockey League, there's one common denominator: Arizona Coyotes, Carolina Hurricanes, Florida Panthers. And to some extent, the Islanders went through this too, except now they're in Brooklyn, so it's a little bit different. And Ottawa would be the other. All of these teams don't have downtown arenas. And while you would look at Arizona and Florida and just be like, they're not hockey markets, what about Ottawa? Explain that one to me. So I got to tell you, I've been fortunate enough in my line of work over the years. I've been to, probably, I think Vegas is the only arena I haven't been to, because I haven't been traveling as much in the last couple of years. But, there's nothing like the energy of when you're in Washington, D.C., or you're in Toronto, or you're in some of these places. And I just think there's nothing like the energy you get from coming out, and it's a downtown arena. And we don't get that in Canada. We get a, you're coming out and it's minus 35, it's a freaking cornfield. And I just think we need to have a situation where we are like the other markets in Edmonton and Vancouver and Calgary. It's all about a downtown rink. So you're asking me what I would like to see? It's a downtown rink. Now, can that happen with this current ownership group and the city? My answer to that is no. I don't think you're going to see that. So I'd like to see a downtown arena at some point. I think everybody would probably lean that way, because it's really cool. It's I think getting on transit and getting on trains is something we're not used to in Ottawa. We got to start pushing that. We got to get on this thing. And I really hope that that's the way we're going in the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I also think you bring up good points with the fact that, is this ownership group going to be the ones who bring this downtown rink to fruition? And I think a lot of Sens fans are worried that under the current ownership that might not happen. Especially, we've seen comments from Melnick saying that he wouldn't mind putting a new rink in Canada. So it's all things we hope to see, and definitely something I think would open doors for us in Ottawa and have more fans at the games for sure.
I'm going to go on a limb here and assume you're pretty good friends with Craig Anderson. Do we have any updates on Andy? Because I know he says he's still ready to play and he's got more hockey left in him. Do you think he's feeling out calls from other teams and he's just taking his time? Or do you think maybe he just hasn't had any legitimate offers, you know, that willing to take?
You know, good question. I have not reached out to him in the last little bit, and that's probably a good reminder that maybe I should. And, you know, as we get closer to it here, you're starting to wonder about some of these guys in the sidelines. And certainly if Craig's – look, I think if Craig doesn't play another game, he's at peace with it. That was my sense in my last conversation with him in August or September. Like, hey, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. The guy just loves being a dad. So if you told him, hey, listen, your career's done and now you're going to be coaching your boys in football and in soccer and in baseball, he's dead. Like, he loves it. I think I just saw a couple weeks ago, he was the defensive coordinator on his son's football team, and they won the championship down there in Florida. So he loves it. He loves being a dad. I think he's okay with it. I just don't know how many teams are in the market for a goalie at this stage of the game. And that becomes an interesting thing. I think he'd be the perfect backup in a whole bunch of places where if you weren't 100% sure of your number one guy, you could roll him in and he could, you know, he could in a pinch take over the number one role in little spots. He's been training, as far as I know, to kind of be ready to go, but it's like a game of musical chairs being a free agent. And sometimes when all the chairs are taken, you don't have a choice. And I think that might be the case for him, but I think if that is the case for him, he wouldn't be restless and feeling like he didn't get a chance to go out on his own terms. This guy played 10 years in a Canadian market as the number one goalie, and there's not a lot of people who can say that. You go through in our market in particular, we used to chew up and spit out goalies on a regular basis, and this guy was the pillar of stability for a decade. So I think he'd be okay with it. I think he'd be an awesome backup somewhere. I don't know if there's a seat for him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know, Ian, the Sens, at least in my opinion, I think most Sens fans can agree, I think we've seemingly undergone a total shift in identity. You know, Eugene Melnyk has typically stayed out of the spotlight for the last few months. We're now drafting bigger and tougher while also making smart decisions with these prospects by not rushing them. We even apparently becoming a destination spot for free agents with guys like Dadonov and Galchenyuk signing, as we stated earlier. Adding to all this with the new logos, the new jerseys, I gotta ask, do you believe the Sens have truly turned the corner? Do you think we've finally left this forgettable late 2010s behind?
Look, that's my hope, right? That is my hope. That is what I want for all of you guys and girls who cheer for the Ottawa Senators. You don't like, and I think you get it. Like, people on the outside don't get what it's been like to be a Senators fan the last 3 years. Like, they think that we're a bad market and a bad fan base. Like, you don't know. Like, you just don't know what it's been like. So my hope is, yes, I hope it's turned the corner. I'll tell you, here's the one thing that it hinges on for me, guys. Brady Tkachuk. It all comes down to Brady Tkachuk. If I am looking at this from my perspective, that's the guy who you need to lock up. If you lock up Brady Tkachuk and Brady's like, hell yeah, I'm in for 7 years at, you know, 7x7 or whatever. If that guy says he's in and he buys in, then you should buy in. If that guy's like, I don't know, then I'm like, oh, whoa, hold on. What's going on? Why doesn't he want to be in? So we watched all these guys leave. Like, Stone was the last guy for me where I was like, if that guy buys in, everybody else will buy in. And Mark was like, yeah, sorry, no, I'm not buying in. And he walked out the door. Mm-hmm. And so to me, as much as you want to bury this narrative, if you're the team, and I get that you've done a lot of good things, now's the time that you talked about putting your money where your mouth is. Now's the time where you said we're entering the window of being a contender. Well, you can't do that without Brady Tkachuk. And so let's see how that plays itself out. Like, I'm telling you, if they get Tkachuk signed to a long-term extension, I think that will really, truly appease the fan base. They you got to give them credit because they got Shabbat done, and I don't know that a lot of people thought that was going to be the case. I think every Ottawa fan last year was like, oh no, he's going to go to RFA and then the Habs are going to offer sheet him and get front loaded. Like that's how that, but that's how you're conditioned to think. And I don't blame you for being conditioned to think. You're conditioned to think the worst thing is going to happen. And I want us to get to a point where you're not feeling like that, that you're feeling optimistic. And so to me, that's the thing it hinges on. If you get Brady done, hey, let's all agree that this thing is headed in the right direction. If they don't and it becomes sticky and something weird happens and then suddenly he is offer sheeted, well, then that, we can revisit it. So that's, for me, that's what it's hinging on.
I think a good way to look at it was back a couple of years ago, I remember I was watching a World Juniors game with my dad. It was Team Canada versus, I want to say Team Russia, but the whole thing about the game was Team Canada was down, and I turned to my dad and I said, who's going to be the guy? I don't think Ottawa has had somebody who can be the guy. And I think you're right that Brady Tkachuk can come in and be that guy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's going to be the guy that will drag the team into battle through thick and thin. You know, he's going to make sure everybody fights to their, you know, last drop.
Yeah, I agree. But that's what Mark Stone was. Mark was that, like, yeah, a natural leader, like a natural, I can, you know, there's been several points in the last few years where, you know, if they could keep this guy, Carlson was one of them. Obviously Alfie was the biggest one way back when, but mm-hmm. Stone was the one for me. If you could have just kept him, imagine even last year, I don't think you finished 30th with that guy around. I don't. I think Colin White is a better player with Stone on his line. I think Brady Tkachuk is a better player with Stone around. Like all that, like a lot of the stuff goes away. A lot of the leadership void goes away. Mark was Daniel Alfredson 2.0. And so you don't have that. Now, Brady has a lot of the same attributes. Natural leader, very kind of, you know, likable guy. Like I go back and I think with Mark Stone, I thought, boy, I don't think anybody disliked Mark Stone. If you're an Ottawa fan, it was impossible. And I think he's the most liked player in the history of the franchise. I think Brady's got that opportunity where, like, you just love him because you're like, I wish we had a time machine. We could put this guy back in the Battle of Ontario back in the day. He'd start pushing Gary Roberts around. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we needed in the city.
And I now we kill. Yeah, I would and now kill we've for a Brady Tkachuk Taidomi fight.
Yeah, exactly. Like he just has that. Like I can't wait for a playoff series with him in it because you're gonna love him. You're gonna fall in love with this guy even more. So I think that's you're exactly right. Like he's got that little. You can't even. It's an indescribable quality that he has that he would be your guy when the chips are down. You need a tying goal in the last minute of the game. You feel like he would be the guy. And so that's what I'm saying. If you can get this guy done and get him to a, you know, at least a 4, 5, 6, 7 year contract, I think a lot of people are going to be real, you know, pretty happy in this city.
Yeah. And oh, you can go ahead, Dave.
Sorry. If Brady extends, do you think Brady gets the C over Shabbat?
You know, you could actually talk me into a co-captaincy. And I don't know that I would have thought of that before. I'm not necessarily a huge believer in it. But you could actually talk me into Thomas Chabot as your captain at home, and especially when you've got a bilingual market and you've got French media that would follow you, and Brady could be your captain on the road where you may not have to have that same thing. And, you know, it's kind of a thing where the captain usually comes out and speaks to the media. Like, I thought to myself, you could do it that way. I think the role of captain has changed. It's not what it was 10 or 15 years ago. There's a little less emphasis on the role. And I think that either one of them would actually be a great fit. I don't think that there would be much of an issue, but if they wanted to rotate it and say, look, it's going to be half him, half Brady, half Thomas Chabot, I think that'd be pretty cool too. Like, I think they both have natural characteristics and leadership abilities that would fit in well. And it would feel nice that it feels like they couldn't go wrong with either one either. Right. Like, it's not like they were, you know, like last year, people are like, should they have a captain? And, you know, it was the right call to not have a captain last year, absolutely unequivocally. But if they pick one of those guys to be the captain, then I think you're doing something right here.
Yeah, and that's an interesting way to put it, because I don't think we've heard that much talk about a co-captaincy before. So that's quite interesting. I never really, you know, considered that being an option. But now that you've mentioned that, I really do think that's a good idea. But that just goes to show.
Last one I can remember was Carolina. That was with Justin Falk and Jordan Staal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think there's been a few teams. I feel like the Minnesota Wild used to even rotate it, believe it or not, on a monthly basis. At one point, it was like a rotating captaincy. And I think there's been a few other teams in NHL history that have had co-captains.
Buffalo.
So it's been done before for sure.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show you, you know, how much, you know, all this talk about how the Sens fans are so interested into what this team is going to do, and especially with the rebrand, I think that brings a lot of people together. You know, it's really nice to see the Sens finally turning a corner, in my opinion, and seeing all these fans being so engaged. And what a better way to have a guy like you, who, you know, is a very prominent figure, local celebrity maybe in our community. so that's really nice. We're very thankful to have you, Ian. That concludes our questions. And before you go, I just really want to thank you for giving one of our members, Derek Lee, a platform to speak about suicide prevention. We all listened to that episode of The Drive, and I just want to thank you for that.
Well, hey, listen, guys, thank you for that. I think it's really important when you got a platform. Don't waste it just only on hockey. I think that's what we love talking about, but I think it's really important during the pandemic in particular that we check in on people. And when you have a platform like I'm, you know, blessed to have every day, you want to use that to further conversation. So you get a guy like Derek willing to come on and chat a little bit about that topic. I think it was great to have him, and that's the type of thing we got to be doing a little bit more of. And I appreciate it, guys. Like I said off the top, anytime you need a guest, you know, don't hesitate to reach out. This stuff is important. I don't think enough mainstream media people get it. Like, you guys are our biggest consumers of what we put out there. And if we don't take 20, 30, 40 minutes, you know, once a month or once every couple of months to come on, then we're doing you a disservice. So I appreciate you reaching out, and would love to be back on with you guys again at some point.
Thank you so much.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, we would love to have you back for sure.
Yeah, done and done. Let's do it again in maybe when the new season starts there in 2021.
Done. Awesome. We'll keep a tab on the Drive as well, as we all do usually. So good luck with that, and I hope your year in the pandemic treats you nice up until 2021.
Well said. All right, guys. Yeah, have a great day, and stay safe as well.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much, Ian.